Hey, come catch this wave with the Fix Squad. The fix is in. I'm Mr. Soul, I'm tuning in. What you doing?
Got him! Look, real hip-hop revealed that it fits. Pure, you can feel it in the mix. Finally stop pushing the culture forward, this is it. Proceed at your own risk. Got him! Beats, bars, and life, giving them truth in it. Screaming revolution with only a few minutes. My sentiments exactly everything that we do clutch. Another reason to turn the volume up. Sheesh, know what we stand on. Sound the ground when we land. Say it's no use, the culture was out of hand. But now out of reach, we gotta stick to the plan. Dark days with the sunshine, and it good news, I'm proof that it's living. Yeah, revolving the art, the shot, go with it, keep it a beat, so the plot don't miss it. Welcome
to the city, stand up. James left, but the king still reigns here. No tears, no love lost, no rain here. Delivers, I promise, Santa rain here. Love for the city still resides here. Fix for your ailment, faith that resides outside the lines. Detox your mind, cause it matters. Art outside the box, we paint better. The fix is in, and we rock a channel. We rock with them for what's deep within. Expose those who talk but don't live. Expose those who talk but don't live. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they speak, so tell me whose face do they see? Repeat. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they seek, so tell me whose face do they seek?
Yes, sir. You're now tuned into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry, right here on Sirius XM, channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. It's your boy DJ Focus checking in.
Hey, and it's your girl Dice Gamble checking in on this Wisdom Wednesday. It's time to wake up.
It is time to wake up. Wake up, wake up with us. Another blessed day. We on hump day, Dice.
Let's go. It's almost over. Weekend's almost here. We're halfway there. Halfway there. It's an old song from a TV show, but yeah, it's Wednesday.
What TV show was that from? I've never heard that before.
Oh, come on now.
Halfway there.
Yeah. I got to remember. Keep going. I'm going to tell you about it.
I have no idea what song that is Dice is singing early in the morning for y'all. But
you have heard that song before.
No, I haven't.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I must have missed that sitcom. We didn't have cable growing up, Dice, so I might have missed some.
I didn't have cable either.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one at all.
It's Big Time Rush.
Big Time Rush?
Yeah, it's the Big Time Rush theme song. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm not familiar with that show at all. Who played in that? I mean, who was the lead character?
Oh, gosh. It's like a band, but go ahead. It's like a boy group band.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nickelodeon. It's Nickelodeon. I know. Just let it go. Don't even say nothing else. I already know where you was going.
That's that private schooling. That's what that is. That's that private schooling.
You were exposed to stuff. Go ahead.
Oh my goodness. Once again, you're tuned into The Fix. And of course, our mission is to expose the culture to positive but relevant music that keeps Jesus Christ at the center of the message. And listen, let's be very clear. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And listen, it's a beautiful thing. Once you accept Jesus into your life, you are free. What great news is it that our lives are free and troubles can't last always. We need to continue to be careful not to drift back into bondage. Many of us fall trapped to pride, putting too much emphasis on being a good ruler, follower, or individual that's aside from Christ is never a good place to be in. Listen, remember, we're saved by grace and continue to trust the process that God will continue to remove every chain from you today. And definitely read Galatians 5:1. Just want to give you some word this morning. It's the middle of the week, so we want to make sure you get through this week. So prayerfully, that encourage you. Continue to take your prayer life to a new level each and every day. Continue to trust God. Trust the process. Build the relationship with him. I promise you, you will never, never, ever, ever, ever have to worry about a relationship like the one you're going to have with Christ. So I promise you, that one will never leave you, never fail you. And he's not fickle. I love that about our Lord. He ain't fickle like us. He ain't in his feelings every day like us sometimes and everything else to go in it with. So, yeah, I pray that blesses your life. Listen, we got a fun-packed show for him again today, Dice. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. This Real Talk conversation, I think it's going to be different for him today. They might not be ready for this one. We talking faith in sports and a little faith in sports history. So mm-hmm. We're going to go back and talk about, you know, old ancient Roman times when, you know, historic, when they used to fight in the arenas. You brought up 300 in the Gladiators. Mm-hmm. I think it was last week you were talking about it a little bit. So I said, you know what, let's go back
and look at that
and see why the church kind of, you know, might frown upon sports a little bit, or just the competition in sports and a lot of egos and everything that goes into it. So let's talk about it, you know, both sides.
That's good. Y'all better stay tuned.
Our spiritual detox is going to feature our brother Cross. He is the founder of the Man Up Club. He's also the founder of the God Flow Hip Hop and Hope Festival, which is going down next month. He's also a super talented artist, songwriter, executive producer, and executive entertainment exec too as well. So you want to keep it locked for that. And he is the father of Sis and Lil Bro too as well. So keep it locked for that spiritual detox. Listen, we got a lot of music we got to play for him, Dice. I promise you, there's so many bangers that's been dropping. So yeah. Listen, just turn your radios up. Wake up, wake up. Let's get into this music. We'll be right back. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
New videos, music, articles, devos, and more. Stay connected. Get the app now so you don't miss a thing. Visit holyculture.net.
Welcome back. Welcome back. DJ Focus. You're tuned back into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry right here on Sirius XM Channel 154 Holy Culture Radio. And it's time for our spiritual detox. And listen, we in for a treat today. Every now and then you come across, somebody super talented that does multiple things. So, listen, this man I got on the line right now, man, he's a vet in the game. Let's be very clear. I love a lot of things he's doing. One, he speaks to man empowerment, encouraging men. He actually has, he's the founder of the Man Up Club. And he's also the founder of the God Flow Hip Hop and Hope Festival. And he's also a super talented artist too, as well. So listen, without further ado, let me welcome in my brother Cross. What's going on, bro?
What's up, man? It's a pleasure to be here on your show. How are you?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. Like I say, man, I don't take that. I don't say them things just to say them. I've been watching you move for a while. You've been a mover and shaker in the industry for a while. You and your wife, y'all got good names. Yeah, everybody knows who y'all are. So I don't know if you know it or not, but believe me, we watching your whole household, brother.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know what? We just try to keep our head down, man, and stay on the grind.
Yeah, y'all grinding. Forgive me, producer too as well. I got to give him his producing bag too as well, because he do that too as well. We got a lot to talk about, man. A little time. Let's get to it. First, sure. Share a little bit of your faith journey with the people. You know, how you developed your own personal relationship with Christ.
Man, for me, I grew up, you know, around a gospel family, you know, in the South. My grandmother had like 16 kids, man, and they used to all sing gospel music. You know, we would have these little talent shows around the crib, man, with all them people, you know, and I really wasn't a singer. And so obviously the family was a faith-based family. And so, you know, I would just rap. And so that's how I ended up starting doing gospel rap, you know, like way back in the day. But then, you know, I grew up, man, I went to college, played football, Division I football, and, you know, went to school. And then even after school, though, I still get out of them streets in California, man, and got to hustling and doing all kind of crazy things. And believe it or not, bro, I was in a strip club when God really called me and when I really had the true relationship with God. Like I was in the club, I was tipping the girls, and the Lord just spoke to me, man. He was like, are you happy? I mean, you know, when God speaks, he speaks clear, he speaks quick, and it's precise, but it cuts. And so, you know, when I just responded to that, the answer was, no, I'm not. And so when I said no, man, it was, you know, tears just kind of started to roll, man, because I recognized that I wasn't living out my purpose. And so from there, man, I just decided that, you know, I would get on the grind. And it was a simple conversation and short and sweet. It was just like, hey, everything that you're doing in the gangster rap scene and out here on the streets, you need to be focusing and building up the kingdom of God. And so from there, man, that's how my true journey started. And that's when I started my Christian hip hop label, which is One Way Entertainment, and then just start grinding on that side for myself.
You know, that's amazing. I appreciate you sharing that story too as well. The listeners, they know when they come here, that's one thing, they'll get some authentic. So when you talk about submitting to God, like that's powerful. Speak a little bit more to it, because I think the listeners need to hear. I feel you. You're in the strip club. God can, you know, kind of gave you that conviction or gave you that revelation. I got more for you to do, son. But you submitted to it. Because it's thing, I would argue a lot of people get revelation, but they don't submit to it. What made you say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going to do what God called me to do.
Well, for me, it was, like I said, it was a heart check. You know, you got to analyze yourself. When God calls you, it's about self introspection and analyzing yourself and kind of search, like the scriptures say, search yourself over. And so that's what I did. And I found out, you know, that really I wasn't living in my purpose, man. And so I went to I had a studio in California, man. I got in my studio, I got on my knees, and I was just like, God, if you're real, I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And that was a personal thing. That was just me and him one-on-one. Wasn't at no altar, wasn't at no church. And he done it, man. And keep it 100 with you, man. I think I probably passed out for about 10, 15 minutes, man, just slaying it, what they call slaying in the spirit, if we're talking, you know, spiritual language. But when I came to, man, I was just like, okay, I'm made new. I'm different. And so I left all my stuff in California, man, and moved back to Minnesota. And then God put me on lockdown for about a year. And when I say lockdown, I'm talking about, you know, I didn't go out. I didn't go outside a lot. You know, I was full off the word, you know, being a new Christian and, you know, getting fed and having a lot of zeal, man. And so for me, I just wanted to eat the word. And so I stayed in the house for about a year and I did that. And I didn't go to clubs. I didn't even listen to hip hop music, as a matter of fact, and just studied scripture, man, and just kind of got deep in my word and had some spiritual advisors or what have you that spoke into my life. And then as I was getting, and that's really what the true discipleship is. And so as I was getting discipled, man, I God just spoke to me. He was like, yo, it's time. And I'm like, OK, what does that mean? He's like, it's time to, you know, take the mantle. And you know, at that time, you know, Christian hip hop wasn't really that popular, you know, and so you had to bear two crosses. You had to really be the person. Not, you couldn't just come up in churches and rap in churches. You had to educate pastors and clergy on why, number one, why is not the devil's music out of all people. But then at the same time, you had to be able to be articulate in the streets so they could understand, like, okay, well, why you ain't in church with your message. So, you know, it's a balancing act. And so I've done that for many years, man. And until, you know, I really got the confidence and the calling that God was having on my life to truly walk it out without having any affirmations or pats on the back and just knowing that you're called to what exactly it is that you're called to, because it takes a lot to walk out a calling, especially if you don't have people that are there encouraging you. And it's a different kind of walk.
No, that's real. So speak about that encouragement. How did your family perceive you? I don't know, were you married at the time? Did you have kids? Like, how did your family perceive you when you said, you know what, I got to move, I got to transition? What was their first thoughts?
Well, the people that I was hustling with, family, some of my family. And so naturally, they wasn't happy about it because that meant less money. You know, they're in a different lifestyle. And so, you know, I had to have some hardships there and had to, you know, break away from, you know, a few family members, man. And it was a little different, you know, because they were super close. You feel me? But because we were going in the same direction, we felt like we was close. But you really only know how close you are to a person when you start moving in a different direction.
Facts.
So it was that perspective. But then at that time, I was not married. But my girlfriend, who's my wife now, she was holding me down while I was in that life. And part of that transformation was, you know, when God called me, he allowed me to see some things a little bit more clearer. And one of them, you know, was, you know, my relationship. And so, you know, I asked my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, to marry me. And thank God that she did. And she'd been riding with me from day one. And, you know, we've been married for 21 years. Now. And so, you know, so yeah, it was different. I mean, you know, some family accepted it and then some different, some didn't. But the ones who did, man, those were the ones who was there for me. And obviously, you know, you understand that, you know, your family is your first ministry. So I started to focus on my wife and my kids when it came to the gospel. And, you know, fast forward to today, there's a lot of things going on as far as family, because as you mentioned, you know, my wife is very supportive. She's Grammy nominated for spoken word. But then all of my kids, they're all into they're all, you know, prolific Christian hip hop artists.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, speak about your kids a little bit. I think I know who they are, but speak about your kids a little bit and what they're doing too as well. And then how did you impact some of their decisions with even getting into music?
Yeah, it's interesting because my oldest son, KJ, which is who a lot of people know, because I started him out when he was about 11 years old, and he rocked with me for about 10 years, and I took him all around the country and what have you. So KJ was the first one to make music with me and kind of pick up the gift and take it and run with it. And so he'd done that at such an early age, and he'd done it for about 10 years. And then, you know, at 21, he started going into, you know, a different career field and what have you. Which is fine, you know, and that's respectable, you know. And so he had his run, and he may not be done yet because me and him just connected here recently. But then his younger brother and sister, which is Titus and Selena, they both are prolific hip hop artists and have careers in their own right. You know, and Titus had never really wanted to get into it, man, because he was more of an engineer behind the scenes, and he engineered for KJ and he engineered for me. And so he learned that technical aspect, you know, of the ministry and the business. And Selena came into it as a female artist, and she just came out of the blue. Nobody saw it coming. And she was just like, yo, dad, I want to do what you do. I want to rap, you know, for the Lord. I want to impact my generation. And so we put her through the fire because obviously we didn't just want her doing it just because we was doing it. And it wasn't a lot of females that was in it. But she proved to be called to it. And so both of them were, and then Titus later on decided that he wanted to actually step to the forefront and start doing music. So they made albums, man. Like, so Selena probably has 3 or 4 albums in her own right. Titus has 3 or 4 albums in his own right. But then beyond that, they decided to come together as brother and sister. And technically they are the first hip hop duo that's brother and sister, which is when they're known as Sis and Lil Bro. And now they're really, you know, they're moving and shaking, and God is elevating them, and they're doing their thing. And right now they're touring. They've just been featured in the number one hit BET series TV show Kingdom Business. And so they grinding, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Shouts out to Sis and Lil Bro. I've interviewed with them too as well. I knew that. I just wanted you to share with their listeners. Listen, men are still having the impact on their kids. That's why I wanted you to share that, because absolutely, we hear so much in the black culture that men are not in the household, men not around their kids. And nah, listen, you the perfect example outside of me, because they always hear me saying it. So I wanted to hear, let somebody else say it for a change.
That's what's up. I mean, that's important, man. I mean, you know, fathers do have a major impact on their kids. And I mean, you know, we do what we got to do as men and support them.
Absolutely. Listen, DJ Focus, you tuned into The Fix right here on Sirius XM, Channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. We got to go to a quick break. Don't touch that dial. We coming right back with more from Cross. Keep it locked. You tuned into The Fix. You know The Fix is in. Welcome back, DJ Focus. You tune back into The Fix right here on Holy Culture Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 154. Listen, I still got the super talented, the exec, the man himself, Cross, on the line with us. So, Cross, talk about it. You know, as you transition your life, as you start to work doing music, what made you start the record label? Like, what did you see you as an artist first and built on that and said, okay, it's a need for a record label? Or did you always want to be that record label exec too as well?
No, I can't say I had that foresight to be a record label exec, but what I will tell you is I was kind of like every young cat out there, man, that just wanted to be a superstar and a famous rapper. And so that, for me, that's what I did. I focused on the artistry aspect of it. And any artist out there knows, man, that, you know, once you really get into this thing, it's way bigger than the music, because you definitely have to have a strong business acumen, or you have to be connected to the business world. And so for me, it was trial and error. As an artist, I would, you know, go to all of these different conferences and concerts around the country and tours and pay different fees. And I just kind of, you know, through trial and error and just kind of being told no, man, I think I'm probably one of the most people who've been told no when it comes to building a Christian hip hop brand, man. But at the end of the day, I took all of those no's, man, and just made them lessons. And for me, I always knew that I was relentless and resilient. And so through trial and error, man, I learned the business of music, and I stuck with it, and I have longevity. I've been doing this for 20 years. And so for me, I wanted to be able to give the culture what I didn't have, which was a roadmap, and to be a trailblazer and to be able to open and knock down some doors, man, so that these artists wouldn't have such a hard time, and they can really focus on their artistry. And so for me, that's how I got into the executive aspect of it, opening, you know, One Way Entertainment, which is my record label. And we branded out on a couple of different platforms to be able to do that, man, because as you mentioned earlier, I started a nonprofit which was the Man Up Club, which is a mentor leadership organization for African American kids aged 13 to 23. And then on top of that, we launched 4 years ago, we launched the National Christian Hip Hop Festival called God Flow. You know, so that, you know, the business aspect is just kind of part of my DNA.
No, that's good. And I appreciate you, you know, taking people up under your wing and like really mentoring and showing people how to do the business. I think that's where we've been behind. We've caught up now. And to your point, when you said you think you've been told the most no's, I don't know. I might can have a conversation off air with you. My first 3 years of doing radio, I've been doing it for 8 years now, coming up on 8 years now. So my first 3 years, I would argue, I promise you, the big names in Christian hip hop and gospel, they wouldn't even give me the time of day. They wouldn't even call me back, send an email back or anything. So I had to continue to stay consistent, keep grinding. And I finally got that big. And then everybody calls me now. But I'm just saying, like, no, I've been there, brother, where you had them seasons where he's like, wait a minute. I'm bringing you on my platform. I'm highlighting you. Oh, my! Forgive me. I am a DJ. I am breaking your record every single day, getting money in your pocket. And you can't even give me an interview. And we say we kingdom. Right. I was struggling with that. I'm be honest with you. I can see if we was worldly, but if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, I have a different standard to me. Now, I ain't asking for no money.
Well, that's something different. You don't stand alone in that. I mean, you're 100% right and you're 100% accurate. And sometimes, I mean, I think that as leaders in the body, men, you know, we have to turn around now and just start teaching character.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's absolutely what it boils down to.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, talk about it before we get into this festival. Talk about the project. You just dropped a project a few months back. Talk about the inspiration behind it and why this project now?
Well, for me, man, I actually dropped two of them. One of them was called the Gospel According to Soul, which was more of a soul record. Just because I was getting older, I'm like, man, I still got a message. I still got music in me. And so I wanted to just reach out to a different demographic because obviously I wasn't trying to, you know, appeal to the teens or what have you. And so I ended up dropping that project, which is more of like a gospel soul record. If you think of more your Otis Reddings, your Al Green, Curtis Mayfield, if those cats did gospel. So that album's out there. But here recently, I just done a new album a couple of months ago called Cross My Heart. Yes. And the reason I came back and done that album, man, is because I definitely had some more to say. And as I was listening to the new culture, man, I'm not hearing a lot of God and a lot of gospel in the music. I'm hearing what's hip and what's, you know, what's really nice and what's current and what's trend, and maybe dropping God's name a couple of times. But as far as substance, I wasn't hearing it. And then considering the fact that, like I said, first your family's your first ministry, I wanted to be able to pass down something to my kids of substance. It's one thing, it's like I tell them, man, it's one thing to live a life to be successful, and you can do that as an artist, but it's another thing to live a life of significance. And significance to me is when you can leave a legacy or impact people when you're not around. And so for me, that's why I done the new album, man, because I wanted to be able to leave my kids a legacy, you know, and I wanted them to have some substance that, you know, of what, and it's about being the best, not by any stretch of the imagination, but it is about being thorough and being intentful when it comes to spreading the gospel. And so we don't want to compromise on that, man. So I just wanted to be able to tap into it while they were doing it, so I could show them some practical things in a practical way when it comes to making kingdom music.
So I'm glad you brought that up. And this is a conversation we constantly have on the show when you talk about, you know, some of the vets or old school within CHH compared to the new up and coming. Do you think it's a lack of disconnect between, you know, vets like yourself and some of the new, where, because I feel like it needs to be some type of discipleship. I think some of the young don't know how to put the scriptures or say God more, or, you know, within their music, because you know, a lot of them probably are not studying on the level that we study on, just being fair. So they don't even know how to articulate that in that, but they are in the culture. They know what's going on with the latest trends and what people like about church and what they dislike about church. So do you think it's a disconnect or a medium where we can meet to where they need to be discipled more, or is it just, you just think it is what it is?
Yeah, I think it is a disconnect, but I think it's from a dual perspective, man, because I think the responsibility lies on both sides of the table. I think it's incumbent upon us to be able to pass down that information, that knowledge, the, you know, those bumps and bruises that we got, and that discipleship of actually studying the word, to show yourself approved. I think that we need to do a better job as older guys to be able to pass that down. But at the same time, you know, there's a responsibility that, you know, these young artists have to get that knowledge and soak up that information, you know what I'm saying, and really be able from that standpoint. But then the other side of that is, you know, when we came along, it was very important for us to have a covering and to be connected with a church, which is where we would get some of that discipleship. And so, you know, I don't know how many of these guys are really, you know, in church and really disciplined and operating in humility, where they can learn, you know, from a pastor or what have you. But even if they're not getting it from their direct pastor, this is the first generation now where they can get it from Christian hip hop artists who have come before them, who speak the same language. So I think it's a shared responsibility. I think we got to do more conferences. I think we got to have people who are at the forefront of this movement to be speaking from that perspective too, who have an influential voice.
No, that's good. Listen, before we get to the festival, talk about, you know, working on Kingdom Business, you know, with your kids and everything that went into that. Cause you know, bring us up to date with what you did with the film, what your kids did with the film, and just too as well, what was your outlook when you saw the finished product?
Yeah, absolutely. So Kingdom Business, man, came through, you know, a long-term relationship that I have with some friends in the LA market who are heavy into the film and television market. And it's just a matter of my kids standing on my shoulders, man, is basically what it is. Because, you know, these relationships you have, you cultivate them over a decade or two. It's not something that happens overnight. And when people see your consistency, they know they want to work with you because you're going to be around tomorrow. And so for me, that's what it was. I'm always looking for opportunities just from a business standpoint to elevate the gospel. And obviously, I want to be a person who invests and pour into my kids because, number one, they've been faithful. But number two, they've made great decisions. And so I want to reward that. I don't want to just throw opportunities to them just for the sake of throwing opportunities to them, because there's a responsibility that comes with that. And so I was able to leverage some relationships, man, in Hollywood. You know, I was one of the producers for music on all of the Preacher of L.A. series and Detroit and Atlanta and what have you through those relationships. And then they just grew from that. And so there was an opportunity for me to get Sis and Lil Bro connected to Kingdom Business. And so they've done a feature and they appeared on the show as themselves, which is super dope. Yes. And they're being introduced as, you know, that Christian hip hop group. So we're excited to see that. That's coming out in October on BET. And man, when I just saw the finished product like last week, and I was really blown away, man. It was like, it was one of those moments where you can actually truly exhale for a minute. You know how it is. You work and you work and you work.
Yes.
But you really don't necessarily get to see the true impact, the fruits of your labor. And so when I got to see the final cut of the BET show, it was just one of those moments, brief moments, where I could just pause, take a deep breath, and be like, okay, God, he really got us. And he's like, you know, he's really showing us that he appreciates what we're doing.
That's good. So listen, talk to the God Flow Festival. Let's be very clear. What I love about you, I can tell you are looking to bridge that gap. I think we've been divided too long. No, it's okay. That's what the fix is about. So listen, we connect perfectly because they call us the black sheep. We don't care. We not too far gone to the left or the right. We right in the middle. I've been watching you for a while. Like I say, I think the first time I noticed the God Flow Festival, you brought T.I. out to talk to the young band. Speak to the importance of that. I know you brought Cedric the Entertainer out too as well. We know this year you got Black China. So speak to that a little bit about bridging that gap, building these relationships, because I think to your point, you brought this up. You said it with Christian hip hop artists, but I think it's also with mainstream artists. How can we hold them accountable to a standard that they don't know if they're not being discipled? So how do we get them to a disciple place if we don't build relationships and connect somehow? Because people, you know, always talking, but build the relationship and let God be God. So speak to that, what you've been doing for, what, 4 or 5 years now? Come on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think that, well, first of all, it's just a matter of not forgetting where you came from. For me, I came from the streets. Feel me? I was out in the culture, and what people fail to realize or they get amnesia about in the kingdom of God is like the process. you know, I got baptized, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, but it was a process for me to, you know, really get in the kingdom and operate in the kingdom. I mean, that took a while, and God still ain't finished working on me. I still got issues and this, that, and the other. And I still, you know, I got friends in the kingdom, but I also got friends on the other side. And so the thing is, if you had just thrown me away because I was in transition, then I never would even, you know, been in the kingdom the way I am and even having any impact at all. And so for me, man, you know, I like to bridge. You spoke it well. I like to bridge the gap. And that's why I brought T.I., because, you know, people all of a sudden assume, or they automatically assume, that because we bring these secular artists that we're always wanting the secular artists to co-sign and stamp what we're doing in the kingdom as if it gives us some sort of street credibility or validity. But at the same time, God is God and the kingdom is the kingdom, and you never know how what you're doing in the kingdom is going to impact that other person who maybe may not be in the kingdom. And if they do get it impacted, then they have a platform where they can go out and spread the gospel much quicker and much, much faster. You know, we can't get caught up on the platforms in which God has given us influence. But if we have the influence from a kingdom perspective, then we utilize it. I have relationships, you know, with T.I. I have relationships with Cedric the Entertainer, and I have a relationship, you know, with people who are connected to Black China. And certainly so for me, I am intentional about a mission that God has given me that I don't expect for everybody to understand, and they don't have to understand it. But as long as I understand it, and what that perspective is in a nutshell, is that we, you know, number one, we have to expand the Christian hip hop platform. And that's what I'm called to, is to expand that platform. At the same time, I'm also called to sharing the gospel outside of the four walls of the church, into the streets, into the culture, into the community. But at the same time, I'm also called to have the gospel impact the secular market, and to also give people who are in the secular realm an opportunity to have a voice within the kingdom, because that's where they can get their footprint. You know, so when T.I. come, or Sed come, or Black China come, man, you know, we supposed to be able to feed them as well. And so, you know, for me, that's what it's about. And at the end of the day, I am not trying to attract people who are already saved. My goal is to reach people who are unsaved. And so they know these people who are considered, quote, secular artists. But OK, and when I was saved, I still listened to secular artists. And when I was unsaved, I listened to them. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they don't have nothing good to say. And you don't know who God can use to bring his word, man. And at the end of the day, these are the people that the majority culture is familiar with. And if they're willing and have an open heart to want to share the gospel, who am I, or who is anybody to say who God can use or who he can't use?
The mic has been dropped. I hope y'all all heard that, because that's enough said. Listen, tell the people about the festival coming up. I know it's coming up next month. Tell them about the lineup, superstar lineup, and everything you got going on with it.
Yeah, man, the festival is on Sunday, July 23rd. We picked a Sunday because we wanted people to go ahead and get the word and get out of church and then get to the festival. It's at the historic First Avenue, which is Prince's nightclub, where he shot Purple Rain. It's downtown Minneapolis. The doors open at 4 o'clock, and we're going to run it till about 10. Obviously, we got Black China coming. She's going to be talking about her transformation and what all she went through, and talking about, you know, her whole life with her OnlyFans and being with the Kardashians, and, you know, and how she, you know, how God called her, and she transitioned with her implants and tattoos, and how she took them out and took the tattoos off, and just kind of where she's at. Like, she's going to speak to the culture, and she's going to speak for real. And then I also invited about 15 other Christian hip hop artists from around the country that's just going to grace the stage and do what they do and do what they've been called to do. You know what I'm saying? We got so many. I mean, there's so many artists that we got. Obviously, we have our artists, you know, which is Sisson LeBro, but we also have Angie Rose. We got Mission. We got Range the Artist, man. We got Clifford Gray. I mean, it's the names go on and on as far as, you know, who we have that's a part of this. Porsha Love, Scooty Wop, Not Clyde. And I mean, it's just a whole host of artists, man.
No, that's what's up. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I know it's going to be a great time. Listen to it. Please, you know, get to this event. If you anywhere close, this is worth taking a ride to get to this event. It's going to be a powerful event. Listen, tell the people across how they can connect with you, follow you on all your platforms, as well as there. Introduce one of your bangers off your last project.
Absolutely. Off the last project, man. A song we're excited about is called Fade, and it's featuring my son, Titus. We locked ourselves in a hotel, man, for about 2 weeks and just wrote the record and produced the record and put it out. But the song Fade really speaks strong to the culture. You know, y'all can get at us, man. If you want to get to the festival, you can get your tickets online at GodFlowFest.com. You'll see the lineup and everything that we're doing in that regard. If you got young men that are around the country that you believe need mentorship, you know, you can reach out to us at themanupclub.org, which is our website, you know, for that. If you're interested in, you know, music or what have you, Christian hip hop music, the label is One Way Entertainment. .com. Just use the number one. If you want to get at me on my social media, it's just Hey Cross, but it's HeyXross. You know, so those are the places in which you can get me, man. I'm kind of easy to find, though.
Yeah. I wouldn't say you're easy, but a lot of people just don't know about you. So I'm grateful that you came on and chopped it up with us this morning. Listen, we got to go to a break. We're about to play this banger right now from Cross. We'll be right back. Keep it locked. You tuned into The Fix. You know The Fix is in.
Holy Culture Radio is operated by the Core Link Solution, a 501c ministry dedicated to empowering people to reach their potential. If you feel led to contribute to this mission, visit www.holyculture.net/donations.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. And it's time to get real in these streets. And, let's talk about it today, Dice. We're going to have a little fun with this conversation. You brought it up last week when we were talking about locations and vacation destinations that we wanted to go to. And you were like, I didn't bring up, going to Rome or Greece where some of the gladiators fought in these Olympic arenas. Back in the day, back in ancient times. And I was like, I think that'd be good to talk about, because I think a lot of people don't even understand when you talk about faith and sports and the history of the church. You know, a lot of the church struggled with, understanding the role of games and God's purpose early on. We know Paul constantly talked about it, or he used references that we use or metaphors. When you talk about sports metaphors, you know, Paul, of course, in 1 Corinthians always talked about running this race, fighting the good fight. You always heard Paul say these things. And of course, we use those things in sports right now. Like, let's be very clear. You said it yesterday. You are a track star. So, yeah, running this good race. It means something different to you, because you was actually out there like competing, like, running. Yeah. You left or right of you. You got somebody looking to beat you. So you like, what you gonna do?
Yeah, it's very, very different. Yeah, no, I was like, I know you want to go to the Coliseum, and I'm glad you brought this up about it being deeply rooted in our Christianity. You know, or it is a part of Christianity that isn't talked about at all. So Christians definitely were always tortured, you know, in
Christians.
To fight for their lives, you know, they've always been demonized. And but this fight between slaves, because a lot of Christians were slaves back in the day, and they would get thrown in this ring, and they would have to fight to the death.
Yes, literally fighting for their life, literally.
How many of us would do that now?
Right. And we know the other part of it, too, as well. A lot of the earlier Olympic games, they were dedicated to pagan gods. We know that, you know, Zeus is always talked about a lot when you talk about ancient history of the Olympics. They were pagan gods. So, of course, as believers. And did you know, too, as well, they used to make them fight butt naked, Dice? Did you know that?
Yeah. Bucket naked.
Bucket naked. That ain't right. So what? First of all, you're going to throw me in the arena. With bears and wolves. I don't even know what them creatures was back then. Listen, I'm saying bears and wolves. They probably wasn't even bears and wolves. They probably was little baby dinosaurs.
And it's cold outside, as my husband
said. Yeah. I mean, I can't even have no Jesus sandals on or something. Like, come on now. I need some grip now.
No dignity at all. Yeah, there was a strong belief in pagan gods. And so, yes, the idea in the 300s, you know, that was... crazy to be like, what do you mean there is a God? What do you mean Christ is this? Like, what do you mean? Like, so yeah, no, this is it's insane. But I can't say that we're not still doing that. You talk about the other day, you were like, I don't like watching women fight.
Well, no, nah, I'm not a fan of it. I just so I'm old school, Dice. I believe in shibboleth.
Like that MMA.
Yeah, I'm not like, a fan.
No,
because I understand these are still ladies, and whether they act that way or not, I just feel like no. I believe in chivalry. Like no, if it needs to be a brutal, bloody fight, I got to be dead before my wife even do anything like that. No, I'm going outside. She ain't got to worry about nothing. She know I'm going to go outside and handle it. And 9 times out of 10, we at a place now, we done got older. She ain't even going to do that. She going to be already going to get that thing. You know what I'm saying? So while you thinking you're doing something to me, she might be coming out and getting you off of me real quick with that thing. Just be very clear. So, but I do believe in chivalry. So I know it's hard for me. Even you brought up yesterday, you brought up when we talked about Black Excellence, Juneteenth. Forgive me, when we talked about Layla Ali, you brought her up. I'm not a fan of women boxing or MMA. I'm not a fan of just women, like, you know, going to brutal battle like that. Like, I understand it. Don't get it twisted. I got sisters. I got cousins. Yes, absolutely. I understand they had to protect themselves and they had to fight, but it wasn't like they went around starting fights or they wanted to be boxers or, and I think MMA is way gruesome than boxing. Like MMA is like, this is like a back alley fight. Let's be very clear. Like it's brutal, Dice. You seen it? Like this is like ribs broken, nose broken. Like what we doing? So like, yes, I just don't think women should fight like that.
I get it. That's a double standard for you, and I'm gonna let you have it. I mean, we shouldn't be playing football. I mean,
don't get me on that. Don't get me on that. Oh, yeah.
You get hurt, necks broke, concussions, yeah, death.
No.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's the same concept. It's the exact same concept, and you know it. So, like, people get hurt and we don't see it. People get bones broken and we don't see it. People get internal bleeding and we don't see it because they have on these really cute uniforms. But it's dangerous. I mean, it's dangerous. And I don't want to get on my rant about glorifying God, but would God really want us to beat each other up? No. That's just everybody know that. But we do some things for entertainment, and that's what the Romans did at the Colosseum. They would throw the Christians in the ring and have them fight to the death. Like you said, sometimes against animals, most times against just really bad, amazing fighters who, you know, they had to fight for the death for their life too. So it was like, you know, it was just a game, but the value of life definitely changed in the Christian church. They started to fight against these games. So, you know, they had some people who would throw themselves in the ring. They would run out there and drag Christians out. Telemachus is one of the guys, you know, who did that, you know, saying that, listen, man, we got to stop this. So some people did risk their life to help those games get shut down. And the games did eventually get shut down. But that's where we got the movie 300 from, too.
Yeah, amazing movie too as well. Let's be very amazing movie. Both of them, they got one part one and part two. Please watch both of them. No, they amazing. I love a good movie, Dice. Let's be very clear. I love a good movie. You know, I think the biggest thing that Christians have always talked about, the competition part. Competition has often been one of the most difficult aspects as a Christian understanding sports. You know, how can you love one your neighbor while blocking their shot? I don't know, but I'm sure gonna do it. The Stellar Awards basketball game is coming up in about 3 weeks, and I need at least two blocks, Dice. I need at least two blocks. I'm glad I said that. That just something in my spirit said, yeah, get ready for them blocks. But yes, how can you love your neighbor and block their shot? You know what I'm saying? How can you tackle them behind the line of scrimmage and you know, do these things but still show love to them? But I think the competitive nature of playing the sport is still doing everything in love. So for instance, I remember back in the day, it didn't happen often, but every now and then, especially when we play football, a player would get hurt. You know, like you say, would it be a big hit, maybe a linebacker, maybe a tackle was made, and a player would be down for a little bit. And I don't know where it came from, but I promise you, everybody does it across the world. What's the first thing an athlete does when a player's down? Everybody takes a knee. Everybody. That's a universal thing that's been happening. I don't even know when that started, Dice, but I know for a fact it doesn't matter what sport it is. Everybody takes a knee, and they're praying. They're making sure that, because nobody wanted that player to get hurt. It just was a good play. You know, when you talk about the being physical in football or something like that, you just want to make sure they're okay. So that was something that I saw early, like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. This is when God can be used in sports, at least for me, because I always prayed anytime a player was down like that. I don't know about my other, teammates, but I was saying a prayer. Lord, please heal him. Please heal her. Mm-hmm. Allow for them to get up right now, Lord Jesus. I don't know what's wrong with them, but allow for them to get up and be able to play and finish the game, or at least be able to go and get the help they need at the hospital. I always prayed that prayer for any time there was a tough hit out there when I played sports. So I think that part of it, when you talk about still being able to compete, still being able to have a physical sport, but still making sure, you know, you're praying for them, because I just believe, you know, the competition it enhances the play. And we know that from the other day. Shouts out to Bear Tag Entertainment, Stellars, for allowing for the Fix Squad to be a part of the second annual celebrity basketball game. We was talking mad trash on that line, Dice. You know that. And that's just our competitive spirit. That you can't take that from us. Any athlete knows that, yes, if you really want to be a good athlete, you gotta talk a little trash. It just go with it.
I'm glad you brought up. Yeah, you're right. It does go with it. And I'm practicing my trash talk right now, just so you know. I'm literally researching each and every artist, coming up with bars to go against them while we're on that court. This will not just be basketball. This will be absolute psychological destruction that will be happening to anybody on Dr. Jamal's team. There's no disrespect to him. I'm just still a little salty that he ain't picked me.
Dice ain't let that go. She's like, you know me. Why you ain't pick me?
I'm a little salty.
Hey, you say you practicing your trash talk. I've been practicing my gritty. I'm getting my gritty dance on. I'm about to get my gritty up.
Nicknames, everything. I'm glad you got your gritty. You brought up something super important about sports. 43%, this is the AP, have reported that 43% of coaches are of the faith. And I've heard the story a lot of times that a coach, yes, you're in the locker room. You are praying with your team. When somebody does get hurt, you are praying. Even if you're not a believer, like, people will just pray. I remember we had a Monster Targo on here, and he said the same thing. Like, you know, people would allow me to pray with them before we went out, even if they weren't a believer. Like, respectfully, they never really kicked back on that. And I think everybody wants to be covered in an extra way when you know you're going to risk your life or you could get hurt. And shout out to all the coaches out here who, you know, have been covering teams. You know, you might have been the only face or piece of God that somebody have seen in their whole life, you know, because their parents let them come and play on your team. So I just wanted to definitely get that shout out, because I was like, man.
No, that's good.
True. All of my coaches.
No,
every
absolutely. Listen, it's funny because we said, especially in football, we said the Lord's Prayer. That's funny because even if you didn't understand, the Lord's Prayer was just an example. That was an example that we all said in all our locker rooms. Everybody huddled up. Everybody was in the circle. The Lord's Prayer was said by one coach every single time we ran out that locker room, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, it didn't matter. So, yeah, listen, we're talking about it today. We're talking about faith and sports and a little church history. Keep it locked. We about to go to a music break real quick. We're coming right back with more. You're tuned in to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. You know, in the middle of this real talk conversation today, we're talking about faith and sports and church history. When you talk about faith and sports, and I know, Dice, I think we got to talk about this, the religious nature of sports. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, sports in itself is a major world religion. That's not what I'm saying. But I think there's a lot of diehard fans that when I tell you they their traditions and the things they do. So I'm right here in Cleveland, Ohio. Everybody know it. Let's be very clear. We have every Sunday for the Brownies. There's a tailgate party that starts at 6 o'clock in the morning every Sunday, every game, whether we're home or whether we're away. It doesn't matter. When football season comes around, religiously, this thing happens every Sunday. The gates and everything open at 6 o'clock in the morning. You have people that I ain't never seen. I didn't even know people invested in getting sports logos and stuff on their vehicles and vans like this ever for my life. I ain't never seen so many Browns this, you know, even the Pittsburgh Steelers fans come, Baltimore Ravens fans come. Like, everybody got their own bus. They got their own Suburban they done pimped out. They own the Astro vans and all this stuff. People, they come back, they got fancy grills and stuff on it. So it's a tailgate party that goes on from 6 o'clock in the morning. Mind you, the game doesn't even start till 1 o'clock, Dice. So you got these people out here early in the morning firing their grills up. Yes, you know they having communion, whatever you want to call it. Doing what they do religiously every single Sunday. I've rolled past it. It has not been a Sunday, like I say, whether home or away, that there has not been a tailgate out there during football season. And the Muni lot, it's at the Muni lot. It is packed. This thing is full, Dice. Yeah, if you don't get there at a certain time, you can't even get in.
I'm glad you brought that up. CNBC has some stats on their website about what the average sports fan plans to spend each quarter. And Gen Z, ages 18 to 25, $464 a quarter. Millennials, ages 26 to 41, $645. Generation X, ages 42 to 56, $827 per quarter. And the baby boomers, ages 57 to 76, spend $641 per quarter in fan gear.
Wow.
Flags.
And fan gear.
Blankets, jerseys, t-shirts, shoes, tickets. Per quarter. So,
wow.
is it a religion? Because I'll be honest with you, I have been over people's homes and they hold home. I mean, before you hit the front door, you see the flag, hey? Flag in the air, like, don't come in here talking trash about the opposite team. Because we letting you know right now. Letting you know right now.
Listen, I have stayed outside at certain people's house because they got too much of it.
Wait a minute.
They got too much of it.
You seen on the TikTok where there was this girl, she put the rival team on her husband's birthday cake.
That's wrong.
He cut that cake and threw that cake across the room. I was like,
that's wrong.
She just wanted to show, like, he's not for any. Yeah, that was dirty. But I'm just saying, like, people are diehard. And here's a list of, where to go? Some of the diehard fans that we have out here. Because I was like, what in the world? But by city, there's a top 20 list of diehard football, basketball fans. And if you've ever lived in Kentucky, let me just tell you right now, I worked at Rupp Arena. I worked at the Titanic exhibit.
Wow.
They would throw couches out the window and flip cars over when UK would win or lose.
That's wow.
I had never, like, me and my husband was like, what in the world? And it just was very normal. It was just like a normal thing. And I was like, wow, this is not normal at all. Yeah. So, okay, here we go. Cleveland Browns, you're in there. Okay. You're number 8 on the list. Boston Red Sox, they're number 7 of insane fans. University of Alabama, they're number 6. San Francisco Giants, number 5. UConn basketball fans are number 4. Oakland Raiders fans are number 3. Toronto Maple Leaf fans are number 2. And making number 1 for the most insane fans and out of control fans is the University of Oregon. Known for losing their mind. And this is on the Bleacher Report for those of you who are like, hey, where'd you get that from? You go on over there. But yeah, they throw bottles at police. They vandalize cars. They flip cars over. You know, they march in the street when they win or lose. Like, and it is just like there are these nations of people who they just feel like they're connected to the team that deep. And they want to prove a point every single time something happens. And I don't know. I say it's identity. You know, they need something to identify with in their life. And they're like diehard fans. Some people buy tickets in the same seats for 50 years and they sit in those seats at those stadiums. And I didn't know that until I moved to Chicago. And please, what? They have been asking me, are you a White Sox fan? Are you a Cubs fan? And I never respond.
You have to be careful because they don't play no games with that, Dice. They don't play no games with that.
No, like the cars are outfitted and everything. And we were having a debate one day. I said, man, well, if I was going to do anything, you know, I would get Cubs stuff to go on the BMW. I'm not going to go get the White Sox because it don't match. But you can't even be playing that game out here. You have to be a fan. This is not you wear something because you like the color. It's you're going to have to answer to this. Like, I have seen heated discussions and debates about what it is and what it ain't. And it's terrifying.
Listen, it's the same way for it is terrifying. And when you have these diehard fans, never going to go to that point to where I'm not getting into we can have a great exchange if you are one of them fans. But anytime I sit down with those fans, no, I'm not about to get into a arguing match to where we about to go outside and fight over teams we don't own. We ain't getting paid from at all. What are we talking about? So, yeah, we on the outside looking in, got to pay. Like you brought up a great point. We the ones still got to go to Dick's and the Foot Lockers and these jersey places and buy jerseys and hats, Fan for Life, lids, and buy all this sport. They ain't giving us nothing for free. We going to sit up here and fight, like, for what? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I think it's foolishness, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Now, I can say I don't care for the team and walk away from you, but I ain't got to sit there and, you know, get into these shouting matches and want to put hands on you for no reason. No. When I lift these hands up, it's because I have to defend myself and my family. Outside of that, I'm walking away. I promise you. I ain't got time for that.
Now here's the deal. You have these crazy fans, but these athletes don't get the luxury. And you do have a few athletes who kick back on these fans, but like a Russell Westbrook, somebody threw popcorn on him when he was hurt on the way to the locker room before. You had a fan spit on Trae Young. We had a fan that threw a beer in a Denver Nuggets game when they were playing New Orleans. And then, you know, you had Lamar Odom got hit with a vodka bottle before. Like, the athletes have to take a lot of heat from these fans, too. And they can't respond as much. Now, LeBron, you know, he will cuss a fan out. We know that. But, yeah, people, you know, they flipping birds at people, you know. Who's the dude that yelled back? Did he play for Boston? No, they were playing in Boston. I can't think of the dude's name. But he was like, I'm tired of these fans treating us a certain type of way. He's like, you know, it's the same energy. We give you the same energy. Yeah. But, you know, James Harden got flashed by a laser once. I don't know. Like, fans are out of control. They're just absolutely out of control. I don't even know what to do with them. So when you talk about a religion, are these games like religion? I've made the comment, I think it's borderline slavery. I mean, I think people get paid, but I think the way that people are chosen is sketchy for me. I mean, it's the same way slaves are chosen. Give me the best. I want the strongest. I'm not saying something's wrong with it. I'm just saying not much has changed concerning ownership either. So 70%, 75% of the WNBA ladies are African American. 73% of the NBA players are African American. Over 60% of players in NFL are African American. And then how many black owners do we have? I don't know. So some of it's sketchy to me, but I don't want to throw that out there too long. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. There's some things that need to be changed, I think. And they're changing, but I think they need to change a little bit faster. And
I do. No, I think they need to change a little bit faster. I do think there are a lot of good values that you can learn from being an athlete, mm-hmm. that go right with us, with our spiritual beliefs and our faith. Mm-hmm. When you talk about, we brought up running this race, like, that's something sports taught me. Sports taught me not to give up, not to be a quitter. Usually in sports, you develop that, win mentality. Let's be very clear. You want to win. Like, yeah, you know, back in our day, I know they give them out now. They give them out awards to everybody nowadays, but absolutely. Yeah, back in our day, it was only the first place award. It wasn't no second place, third place, and fourth and fifth and sixth. No. It was one trophy. And if you didn't win that trophy, you were inspired to get back in shape. You were motivated to work on your game on the offseason. So you came back the next year and you were better and you prepared. So I just think about how our relationship is with God. Let's be very clear. We're constantly working to get better with our relationship with God each and every day. when we pick this cross up. There's things we struggle at. There's things that we need God's power to help us to overcome. So it's no different than how you work out as an athlete and getting your body in shape, conditioning, getting them jump shots up, throwing the touchdown passes. It's the same thing with our spiritual walk. We have to continue to grow in the Bible, in God's word and everything.
Yeah, you're right. And at headtail.com, they have an article. It's called 10 Similarities Between Sports and Religion. And like you said, each, like in Christianity and on the team, everybody is thinking the same way, you know. Then you have where they're deeply in their community or connected to their community or charity, just like, you know, Christianity is. Faith is usually, or sports are usually supported by a community. It's one team. That's the mindset. Both have types of disciplines that you have to do, you know, daily, weekly, you know, some type of ritual that keeps you in the correct mindset. Both have like a book, a playbook, you know, so Christianity has a Bible and every sport has some type of playbook. But yeah, you're right. Like, trust me, they are a lot of like sports and they can teach you disciplines kind of in the same way, So anywho,
that's good.
Bringing that up. Yeah.
No, that's good. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. We're going to break. We're coming back. Keep it locked with our closing thoughts. You're tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. We appreciate y'all rocking with us again today. I promise you. Woo, these conversations we be having on these Real Talk conversations, Dice. I promise you, they get better and better. I promise you. It was just something fun. I know we usually always so deep, so just to talk about faith and sports. And, yeah, you know, because, you know, you be over there with that Bible. You know, you're going to throw that not Bible
me.
At them. So,
not
yeah.
me. Nah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Faith and sports combo today was a fun one.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Listen, I'm excited. I just think sports are a great way to experience faith, and I'm glad we had the talk because it was a revelation for me, too. Like, shout out to all the coaches who are praying with your teams. You're praying before the actual games. You know, you're praying during the games. And just the statistic, like, of how many coaches are of the faith, you know, where they actually put that in their playbook. Like, it's just it's exciting to see, you know, especially for someone who might not know God. It's nice to know that these coaches are out here trying to cover them, you know, while they're playing on the field. So I enjoyed that. I loved it. I loved it. And I want to visit the Coliseum even more now. Mm-hmm. I do. I've always wanted to visit it, but just to know, like, no, people really were losing their life up in here, you know, like for the cause, you know, for the cause. So I think it'll be life changing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it will be life changing too as well. Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing I did take away from the sportsmanship, I think it's okay to be a competitor. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being competitive because, yeah, if you're an athlete, that's a part of the game. Like, everybody's right. striving to be the best athlete on the field, on the court. It doesn't matter where you're at. But I think the sportsmanship, if nothing else, if you guys are listeners, if you can get in, nothing else today. Have good sportsmanship. It's okay to talk trash because we're getting ready to talk a lot of trash. Let's be very clear next month. But at the end of the day, you know, win or lose, we're going to have good sportsmanship. I used to always hate the sore losers when we played some of our rival schools and stuff like that when I was in high school. Yeah, they were some of them. We had some that was like sore losers. They wouldn't even walk. You know, you walk down the line and shake everybody's hand.
Yeah, shake your hand.
As soon as the game over, they walk right to the locker room. Yeah. As if, you know it's a whole line. It's a whole everything. That's all right. That's a good thing about sportsmanship. You come back the next game and you could probably win the next one. I promise you. It was something that we lost, but we came back. And that's why I was so grateful to, you know, play, like I say, you know, different sports teams. Mm-hmm. It was a blessing because, yes, that taught me sportsmanship was a huge part. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's how God's love is too as well.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a lot of things that we can take from it that we can apply to our faith when you talk about what sportsmanship is. So, yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. That was good. That was good. I enjoyed it. Listen, man, let's talk about this God flow.
Come on, talk about it, Cross.
Come on now. This Hip Hop and Hope Festival is about to be off the chain. Like you said, it's hosted by Sis and Lil Bro. Special guest is Angela Black China White. And this is going down Sunday, July the 23rd, First Avenue, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the doors open at 4 p.m. Show starts at 4:30 p.m. But their lineup, though, focus. Scooty Whop is in the building. Portia Love, Mike Teezy, Angie Rose, Mission, George Rose, Zay Hill, Young C, Clipper Gray, Pharrell, Range the Artist, True Serva, Cord, Abraham Westland, I forgot, and Priest is in the building. This is about to be crazy. And DJ Mowski. So for those of you who are trying to travel, listen, hopefully you bought your tickets. They're available, but I don't know how much longer they're going to be available. So this is going to be wild. I would say take as many people as you can. It's going to be a wonderful day to hang out with your friends and your family and just really turn all the way up for God and have some fun and meet some new people.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, this lineup is wild.
And it's presented by the Man Up Club, which we know that, you know, Cross is the CEO of.
Shout
and he's also
Cross.
The CEO of God Flow Hip Hop and Hope Festival.
Come on now.
I definitely appreciate him talking about the journey. Mm-hmm. One thing that he shared in the interview that he talked about was just the journey of where God had him from mm-hmm. leaving the streets to him submitting to that calling. And in the midst of that, listen, he found his wife in the midst of that. I was like, wow.
Come on now. Look at God.
Show you what God to do. God
won't
give
he really?
You
won't
yeah,
he
really? Won't he do it? So, yeah, that was very important for him to share that. We talk about street ministry all the time on the show. So when you can mm-hmm. hear real life stories of, no, I was in them streets for real, but yeah. no, God changed me. The Spirit of God wooed me to, you know, get my life in order. And he went a new direction and he inspired his kids where all of his kids became Christian hip hop artists too as well. So come on. Mm. Come on. You tell me men in the household don't mean something no more. I keep telling y'all, we need y'all black men to be in the households.
We mean everything.
Yes, please be in the households. So yeah, shout out to him. Yeah, definitely buy them tickets before they sell out for the festival. Because I promise you, if it's not already sold out, it's going to sell out. Because that's a lineup that everybody wants to see.
Yeah, me too.
Well, we got to get out of here. So we're going to see y'all tomorrow. Yeah. Tap in with us for Thirsty Thursday. I promise you, we have an iconic R&B legend joining us tomorrow. I'm going to just say that.
You say this every week. Go ahead.
It's the truth.
I know.
I mean, you know, this sister, you know, been putting it down for a long time. So I'm going to just say she's an iconic R&B legend, and she's going to come. And then when I tell you, y'all might not be ready. Because I promise
ready.
You.
They are
gonna,
not ready.
I'm pretty sure she's going to preach. So, yeah, get mm-hmm. ready for that exclusive spiritual detox for tomorrow. Tap in with us. And, of course, we're going to have another Real Talk conversation. As always, remember to stay focused on turning your negative into a positive. Jesus Christ is always the answer. Kingdom advancement should always be the goal. The Fix is in. We out.
Peace, y'all.